live with Terry, Mark, and Garland, and the Ruckus Truck.
Good evening, and welcome to the Ruckus Caucus. My name is Garland Nixon, and I'm here with, on my left,
Mark Levine.
And on my far left,
Terry D. Kester, the doctor of democracy.
And the patient is a very sick. We've got
a patient in bad shape. Yeah.
Terry, do you make house calls?
Yes, I do, but yeah, I'm not doing
anything. I've
been in the White
going.
House on a regular basis, and it's still just not working.
They just don't let you in.
Michelle's got something against me. I don't know what it is.
Well, today we have an interesting subject tonight. As you all know, there's an issue in New York City regarding a particular mosque.
And no, I haven't heard anything about it.
That is going to be built near Ground Zero.
There are 100 mosques in New York. You wouldn't think anyone would care about it.
Now, let's keep in mind here that this has been an interfaith project. There are rabbis, there are preachers, there are a number of people from various religions who are supporting this. It's going to be a kind of a community center where there's going to be a basketball court and things of that nature, and in a place of worship.
And there is already a mosque only about 100 yards further away.
Right. Yeah, but that's not going to, you can't use that for votes. So what's going on now? And the thing that I found interesting is this.
It's a small one.
Yeah, what I find interesting about the situation is this, and that is that I would expect the right to try to use wedge issues like this to divide the voters. But what I found interesting, and I'm going to have to get some info from you guys, are going to have to help me out here. I saw a poll, not that we can count on all polls, but I saw a poll that said somewhere around 67 or 68% of Americans oppose.
I saw 64.
Yeah.
68.
Yeah, it's still, 68. It's a high number. And I just thought to myself, you know, that just shows how far we have to go as a country. That goes to show that in America, we are still in a mindset where we can take entire groups of people and that we can apply particular characteristics to everyone in the group based on a few people in the group, number one. But number two, that most of the people that are doing this would never want that standard applied to themselves.
Of course not.
Never. You know, if you were to say...
It's only fun to pick on a minority, except when you're in that minority.
Right. If you were to take since we're saying all Muslims, if you were to say Christians, and you were to take a particular group of miscreants in the Christian community, and you were going to say, I don't think we should have any playgrounds or child care centers near churches.
Are you picking on Glenn Beck?
No, because, no, think
about
this. I think
he's picking on Catholics.
No. Remember, we didn't, this is not about a particular sect. This is not about Sunnis or Shiites. It's Muslims in general, right? So then it would be Christians in general were you to apply that same standard equally. It would be applied to all Christians. And we would say, well, a particular small group here in the Christian community, the Christian group, have been assaulting young men, so we have to apply that to all. But the people would never do that. So I think the issue here is, in America, we still have something that, it doesn't matter if it's racism, if it's sexism, it all works the same. You take a particular characteristic and you apply it to everyone in a group regardless. Terry, what do you think we are? What's the issue with this whole mosque thing? You always have a particularly interesting take on things.
Well, thank you. There are three things that are in play here. One, of course, obviously, is the issue of freedom of religion. The other issue, of course, is tolerance, just simply religious tolerance. And there's a more basic and fundamental issue, which I think Americans don't even begin to understand. And it really comes down to why it is that our country was, no matter what mess it's in now, it was structured so that we have a representative democracy as opposed to a democracy. Because, frankly, it is very easy to manipulate the public. And this whole poll of 68% shows that to the nth degree. And if they had the right to vote now, they'd probably be voting every one of the 10 million Muslims in America out of here.
Right.
Are you saying that you're really Terry Republic, Kester?
Yes.
Terry R. Kester?
Yes, yes.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay,
and the key thing, too, here is, I mean, I do think, and it's been pointed out by a wonderful article by Michael Gerson of the Washington Post, who used to be President Bush's speechwriter.
He's a right-winger.
But he's a right-winger, but he's a very intelligent right-winger. You know, you got to give him that. You really do.
No, that's true.
But he makes the point that the president really has no other choice than to defend this. You know, I mean, because his obligation is not to the popular opinion. It is, in fact, to the Constitution and what is best for the country. And Obama did the right thing. He didn't do it strong enough. He didn't do it clearly enough. but he has an obligation to say, of course they can do this. This is America.
Right. And that's a good point, Mark. The president basically is sworn to defend the Constitution, and the same people who are saying it's unconstitutional that he's there and he's violating and subverting the Constitution are now upset because he's saying, look, bottom line is, I'm the president, this is the Constitution, looks like they can do it to me. He doesn't, I think he's doing the best thing because he's not, his job is not to take a social position or a social view. His job is to enforce the law of the land. Mark.
Let me give you some good news about this, if I can. You're absolutely right about the polls. 64%, 68% oppose the Islamic Cultural Center. They call it a mosque. Of course, it's a 13-story building. I'm sure it has a mosque within it. But I don't know why you would call, if the building is 10% mosque, why you'd call it a mosque.
It's not even a mosque. They
have an Islamic Cultural Center. It's like a prayer room.
It has basketball courts. We call it a basketball center.
Why don't we call it the Islamic Basketball Center?
There you go.
Yeah. Or frankly, since it also has a memorial to victims of September 11th, we should call it the memorial.
The Islamic memorial
the
for
Islamic
victims of
Islamic memorial to victims of September 11th. Why are people opposing the Islamic memorial to victims of September 11th? Because that's also contained within the 13-story building.
And if anybody's forgotten, there were 300 Muslims.
There were certainly a number of
in
Muslims
the World
killed.
Trade Center disaster.
There are people of all religions and no religion murdered that day. Let me give you some good news, though. You're right about the 64. I saw 64%. You saw 68%. You're right about that, Paul. However, there's another poll taken by the same people that took the first poll that says that 61% of Americans recognize that Muslims have the right to build there. Now, that's an interesting statistic, too. A majority of Americans believe they have the right to build there, and a majority of Americans believe they shouldn't build there. What does that mean? It means there's some overlap. In fact, if you look at the numbers, at least 25% of Americans believe both they have a legal right to be there and that they shouldn't build there. So that should at least give you some hope that at least people recognize the First Amendment to the Constitution. What some Americans are saying is you can't build there. Those are clearly wrong because the Constitution protects. If you can build a church or a synagogue there, of course you can build a mosque there. And by the way, there is a church just across the street from September 11th. I went, if you go Google Maps and you see, I think it's St. Paul's is the name of the church. So if a church can be there, obviously a mosque can be there. And the people that don't think they have a legal right to build there are simply wrong. No question about it.
And that conflict.
But the middle is more interesting. The middle opinion that says they do absolutely have a legal right to build there. Remember, all that President Obama said was they have a legal right to build there. He said he wasn't going to comment on the wisdom of building there. And I think if such a big ruckus hadn't been made, if forcing everyone to sort of stand their ground, if victims, and I saw, by the way, there was a beautiful writing by a woman whose mother died, victim September 11th, and she's Muslim. And her mom was murdered by those horrible terrorists. And she actually didn't want the building there. So I want to make a huge distinction between legal rights, which everyone in their right mind, from the president on down to even Michael Gerson, the right-wing columnist, everyone should agree and should know the law, that it would be absolutely wrong as a matter of law to do anything legal, like the silly people that went to the Landmarks Commission. I mean, that's ridiculous. Right. Landmarks Commission is to determine whether or not it's a landmark, and it wasn't. And that was the only thing they have to determine. So the New York officials made the right move. But the question of the legality versus the wisdom, I think, are two different things. Now, in my view, it's far enough away. It's three blocks away. It can't be seen from... I mean, if it were on Ground Zero...
Well, that would be impossible.
It would be wrong. It'd be wrong to have a church or a synagogue...
Or a snowball stand, for goodness sake.
But I mean, if it were
across
the
street... Because the government should be able to make a memorial there.
If it were across the street, you would object? Is that what you're implying?
If it were across the street, if it were me, and I would probably go to the imam privately and say, I know you have an absolute right to build there, but it might be more sensitive to build a block or two away.
Okay, I'll say
so
this.
So we may disagree on
that. I'll say this, because there are two issues here.
Dave and I just talked about that.
There are two issues here.
You're a good man, David.
Issue one is the legality of the issue. Well, I think the Constitution is fairly clear on the legality.
No one should dispute the legality.
Right. Okay. Although there are those who...
There are those who do it, but they're wrong.
Well, but they're the same people that tell us they're strict constitutional constructionists unless the Constitution disagrees within the 18th Amendment or whatever the case may be.
Basically
the 1st
illiterate.
And the 18th, I think we got to throw those out now, don't we?
Yeah. That's what they plan to do.
Or is it the 14th?
The 14th.
Okay. And so we have
the 18th was Prohibition, I think.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Good thing that one's gone, huh?
So they did throw that one out.
You're right. We don't want anything to do with that
one. The one amendment they did throw out. Way to pick the right one, Carl.
Yeah. So the two issues here are constitutionality, the legality. But I think that's almost a non-issue. The bigger issue is how people feel and why. My perspective is this. The foundation of opposition, why would someone oppose it in any way, shape, or form? That's what we have to get to, because we have to determine what that foundation is based on. Why would a person have opposition to building this as opposed to anything else, right? Now, you can identify humans by any number of ways. A person can be a father or a brother or a sister or a member of Islam, a member of a race, religion, group, sexuality, whatever. People are constantly identified by individual groups, and all of us belong to any number of groups. Okay. But what we're doing here is we are identifying, we're tying the identification of the September 11th attackers with the people who are building this mosque. The foundation of this is a tie between the two. There is but one tie. And that is they're Muslim. Well, there are two ties. They're Middle Eastern and they're Muslim.
Well, actually, no, because they're Americans. They're building the Islamic Center.
Okay, well, good enough.
Yeah, right. It's really solely
Islam. So is it? But let me ask you this:
I don't know where Imam Rafa is.
Louis Farrakhan, the Nation of Islam? Do you think if it was the Nation of Islam, if it was Farrakhan, do you think they would oppose it?
Of course they would.
Right. Well, they'd oppose that anywhere. Yes, that's never mind. It wouldn't matter where that was.
That's a different question.
Yeah, but so the bottom line is this: to me, the problem I have with this is that the foundation of it is this. Look, Bin Laden and his crew, I identify them by the group they belong to, Al-Qaeda. Now, if Al-Qaeda decides they're going to build the Al-Qaeda basketball court and recreation center, I got a problem with that.
We got a problem.
But me, as a member of if you're a Christian, would you want someone to find a group of Christians, say the KKK or some white supremacy group that killed a black person, and say, or did something terrible, and say, well, they're Christians, you're Christians, we're going to apply the same? Or would you say, let's identify that person that killed this innocent black person as a member of the KKK? That's what you would want. This is a tiny group. I see absolutely no tie between Al-Qaeda and moderate and progressive Muslims and Arabs who want to do something except the word Muslim. So as far as I'm concerned, I can't see any way in the world that we can say they shouldn't be next to it, they shouldn't be an inch away from it, they shouldn't be across the street. Because if you accept the premise that there's any type of argument as to whether or not this organization should be anywhere near them, then you accept the premise that they're identified within the same group, because they're Muslims, as Al-Qaeda.
But you have to realize within that, I mean, I agree with you 100% on that.
Well, in that case, I'm changing my stance.
Okay.
For the record.
Well, Mark's already changed his. But anyway, the problem is that for 8 years or longer, the American public has been told there is this connection. I mean, the whole Iraq war.
Yeah, Iraq, Afghanistan, everything. That was a connection. You're right.
I mean, here's this little group of nutcases out of Saudi Arabia, not out of Afghanistan, not out of Iraq, not out of Pakistan, et cetera. But they've been tied together because of these one group of nuts to every activity that America has had in foreign policy in the last 8 or 9 years, and it's still continuing today. We are in Afghanistan because Al-Qaeda. We're messing up Pakistan because of Al-Qaeda.
Right.
No matter what, we're going to stay in Iraq for the rest of our lives because of Al-Qaeda. So that tie-in is still being made, and that's a big, big mistake on the part. It's irresponsible of our politicians. It's irresponsible, and I don't think President Obama ever makes that connection. But heaven knows the previous administration made it constantly. And the public has bought into it. They basically still believe. And in fact, there's something like 50% that still believe, one, that there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, and that Al-Qaeda...
Well, there are now. We brought them with us.
Right, yeah. And that Al-Qaeda is part, of the Iraqi government and was supported by Saddam Hussein. Totally untrue, but 50% of Americans believe it. Thank heavens you have a representative democracy, and these people don't get direct access to what's going on.
Hey, Mark, there's this. But Terry brought up a good point, and that is this whole tying Al-Qaeda to anybody who's Muslim sentiment used to justify invasion of Iraq and used for all these other things. Is there kind of a a new Southern strategy going on here, using Muslims, using Latino immigrants, et cetera, to upset the good white people who are voters by the GOP?
No question about it. That's why this whole thing's being politicized. You know, you go back to Richard Nixon. Go back to George Wallace, in fact, where you had the Democrats who were upset by the civil rights. Lyndon Johnson said he was signing away at the Democratic Party for
there goes
generation.
The South, right.
There goes
well,
the South.
He was right.
And so white Democrats, who were formerly the Dixiecrats, they went to George Wallace in 68, and then Richard Nixon said, let's get them in the Republican Party, the Southern strategy.
Right.
So they picked on blacks for a while, and then that turned out, after a while, Americans didn't like that as much. They had to do it a little more subtly than that. Go back to 04, and it was pick on the gays. That was
right,
the year
that's right. The gay
we're
going to
attack the gay,
gay
people.
Marriage.
In 04, you had 30-something states talking about that. Today, interestingly enough, latest poll since the court case shows that the majority of Americans has now reached 52% in the latest poll, support everybody's right to get married. So you can't pick on the gays anymore. So
right.
Now who are we going to go after? Latinos and Muslims. We're going to go after Latinos in Arizona. We're going to talk about illegal immigrants, even though American Latinos get punished. And Muslims.
Muslims
killed us on September 11th. Therefore, all Muslims are dangerous.
Latinos are Muslim? We're in deep trouble now.
I don't know. Boy, I'm sure there's some Latinos.
I'll put it like this.
But the point is, it's always to find some discrete minority that you can attack. No question about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's definitely the case here.
I want to quote Richard Cohen. I mean, to show you how out of hand this has gotten, Richard Cohen, who is a columnist I also respect, and he's quoting our good old friend Newt Gingrich.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, yeah.
I know what you're going to say.
Newt. Hello, Newt.
Yeah, I know. That's
hope you're listening, Newt. And then quote from Mr. Cohen. The winner of ridiculous statements, by the way, as you might have imagined, goes to that evil cherub, Newt Gingrich, formerly of Georgia, but now of any meeting hall with a spotlight. He said, approving the mosque would be like putting a Nazi sign next to the Holocaust Museum. I mean, talk about out of control. Talk about pandering. You know, talk about irresponsible. Talk about nonsense.
And talk about a person who should be vilified for attacking a religion. I mean, just think about what he basically said. He basically compared
all of Islam,
peaceful Islam, members of Islam with
Nazi.
The Nazi Party.
Yep.
If we look at the Nazi Party, and the Nazi Party wasn't a religion either. It's an ideology. It's fascism in a nutshell. I mean, it's not the first time we've seen fascism, and we got to keep our eyes out for it wherever we see it, because we know what fascism ultimately does.
Every political movement in the world, in the United States or in any other place in the world, in the Middle East, always uses religion in some way.
Right.
In terms of getting support for its point of view. Always. That includes the candidates here in the United States. You know, on a lesser degree, but in other degrees, be it Nazism, using the Lutheran Church and even the Catholic Church, there's always used religion to justify whatever policy you want. I think the issue here, and I think we've hinted at it, has a lot to do, and I hate to say it because I don't like to play the same old song, but there is racism involved in this.
No question.
You know, it is a racial issue. And if Muslims were not, for the most part, darker skinned than whites, I seriously doubt this would even be an issue.
I want to make a distinction here that I think is important. First of all, Newt Gingrich is way off the map. To me, the most extreme thing he said was that we shouldn't allow a mosque to be built there until Saudi Arabia allows churches and synagogues to be built in Saudi Arabia.
Right.
It is true that Saudi Arabia does not allow churches or synagogues to be built in Saudi Arabia. They don't even let women drive.
Right.
So I guess we shouldn't let women drive here until they do it in Saudi Arabia. The idea that we are going to lower our religious freedom to that of Saudi Arabia just tells you where Newt's mind is. But I do want to be a little difficult here, and because I do think there is something
that's so unlike you, Mark.
I know.
That's so out of character.
I actually find this a little more troubling, probably, than the two of you do.
No, I doubt it. But
it's
go
interesting.
Ahead.
No, I do because it's interesting because
I've
been on Fox News like 10 times.
Oh, don't go on.
No, no, but no. I've been defending.
He's Glenn Beck's best buddy. Yeah. I mean, it's
I've been
just
defending
out of hand.
The building. They have me on as the pro mosque guy. But with you folks, I can say that I honestly think there is something to be said for distinguishing between, first of all, the clear anti-Muslim racists, those that oppose a mosque in Staten Island or Tennessee and California. Those people are just racist, and that's that. There is something to be said for the sensibility of a site of a massacre. And I think that if you look at other sites where there have been massacres throughout history, that there is a certain, I mean, if you look, for example, the Ku Klux Klan, you gave the example,
right.
You know, had a massive lynching on a certain point.
Yeah, it was called the whole entire South.
Pretty much, pretty much.
Small point. I think it started at the Mason-Dixon line.
But let's say there was
it ended somewhere around Oregon.
All right. But Civil War gravesites or wherever, there's a certain respect for people who have died that I think has to be paid. And so that much I understand. I really do understand the people who say a massive crime was committed here and we don't want to. That's why, for example, I think a mosque on Ground Zero would obviously be the wrong thing to do and wouldn't. And so I actually understand those that say it's too close. I'm not willing to just call them racist, I guess. The way I am, anyone who opposes the mosque in Staten Island is a racist, obviously.
But how can you justify a position by that, even in your own mind, if knowing that Muslims were killed by that same action on that same spot?
Right.
Well, it's not a
Terry,
question.
Let me give an example.
The same right as everyone
mind.
Else.
Because I really strive in everything I do. I really do work hard in trying to be consistent. And I remember very much being opposed about 15, 20 years ago. You may or may not know this. On the side of the Auschwitz concentration camp, there was a 30-foot tall cross put there by Poles.
Right.
And there actually was a convent of nuns who took the building where the gas was held, the Zyklon B gas, used to murder all those people there, and they made it into a convent. Now, of course the nuns were not Nazis. Of course the nuns weren't involved in the Holocaust. Of course there were Christians killed at Auschwitz.
Right.
Notwithstanding all of that, I opposed, and I still oppose, the giant cross there because it was a way of appropriating for Christianity what in fact was a mostly Jewish, but definitely a tragedy for people of all religions.
What was their intention?
I would not have opposed a church two blocks away, you see. But I am trying to make that distinction.
But what if their intention?
Their intention was good.
Right.
Their intention, the nuns, I'm sure, wanted to pray the victims.
Right. But I mean, even the symbol of the cross. If the symbol of the cross by them, and if they had legal rights, if they, you know, to use this land, and they weren't appropriate.
Legal rights. I mean, it's a concentration camp. The Polish government took it over, and they authorized the cross.
Yeah, the Polish government ain't too,
it was a communist government at the time. Interestingly,
but still, the racism throughout Poland is historic and horrible. But at the same time, if perchance the nuns' purpose was to, in fact, say Christians can't be part of what has happened here,
right? Yeah.
They wanted to pray. They wanted a spot at Auschwitz because so many people were murdered there.
Yeah.
They wanted to be there, just like the Islamic Cultural Center has a memorial to the victims of September 11th.
Wouldn't the best solution for this whole problem, frankly, to be somehow or other within the memorial that we supposedly are building or way behind on at Ground Zero, that if it did include a Muslim prayer site, a Christian prayer site,
atheist,
Hindu, Buddhist, every single one you can think of should be included in that, because the crime is against humanity.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. Now, and what you said, Mark, I mean, let's say I give you the benefit of the doubt, and I say, okay, that's a fairly reasonable argument. I would be okay with that as long as it was applied universally in America. I got a problem with Confederate flags, particularly flying at the flight house, at the state house.
Alabama and Georgia.
Okay. There was a lot of black people that died in slavery.
Absolutely.
There was a lot of white
and black people that died under that Confederate
battle flag. That wasn't the Confederate flag.
I am completely against that flag.
So,
I agree with you.
When several years back, 12, 15, 20 years back, when the NAACP and a number of people went down to South Carolina to march and say, we don't think this Confederate flag.
I would have marched
this
with
is
them.
About, remember what they said? This is about our culture and our heritage. They had no problem with offending people who had died when it was a symbol that was there. And in fact, African Americans in South Carolina were paying for that with their own taxes. So while I say there may be some merit to what you're saying, you know, applied universally, look, maybe there shouldn't be anybody on the ground. Of course, 2 weeks ago, two blocks away, or however many blocks away, clearly there shouldn't be any issue. But on the ground, if someone said, "Okay, I don't think anybody should be there," I'm simply saying, if in America, if 68% of the people aren't willing to make the same argument that a Confederate flag shouldn't be at the State House, if the same people, right-wingers in the South, aren't standing around saying, we don't, well, you shouldn't put a Confederate flag in the State House because there's black folks all around, and that kind of freaks them out. We've got no right to say that to anybody
absolutely
else.
Yeah, I don't
consistent.
Think you... I mean, you introduced this idea of sensitivity, and I do understand it. I'm not saying I don't understand it.
You understand sensitivity?
I've never seen
evidence of that.
Please. We've known each other in so many ways. Never mind.
TMI. Is Jan here?
No, oh, she's not
here.
She's not.
Okay, then we're okay.
Interestingly, she disagrees with me totally on this point of view, by
interesting.
The way.
A very wise woman. Oh, I knew there was something about her I liked.
Me too. Me too. But if we get caught into this sensitivity thing, you know, we're on very, very dangerous ground.
It's tough.
It's tough. And I mean, and the example that we can attach to this is coming up September 28th. You probably know this, but September 28th is the date that Martin Luther King gave his speech at the Lincoln Memorial.
Right.
And I think Glenn Beck is being insensitive.
Glenn
the Tea
Beck
Party or somebody.
And the Tea Parties are having a big demonstration. You know,
and I'm against that,
Washington
even though they have a legal right to
Memorial.
Do it.
At the Lincoln Memorial?
They have a legal right to do it.
But if you start applying that sensitivity in that way, I mean, I'm offended by it. Don't misunderstand me.
Well, that's what I mean.
But if
no
I,
one is challenging the legal right.
But if I take my offense and make it somehow part of policy in
any way.
I never said make it part of policy.
Well, we're getting very close to it.
Well, no.
We're getting
I want to be very, very clear.
And he's not
clear.
Saying you.
I don't think
he's saying that you do. I think he's saying that these people are.
To me, the right thing to have
Yeah, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about our politicians.
What I'm trying to say is there are people in the middle on this thing. To me, the right thing to have been done was to, from the very beginning, make it clear the legal right to build. And at the same time, like Governor David Patterson... and I don't think it should have been public. The whole thing is way too public.
I think it was in left field.
To go in private to meet with Imam Ralph and to say, you know, can you move it? Okay, you can't. All right, can you have a good memorial there? He'll say, okay, we are going to have a good memorial. Terrific. That can be a teachable moment. To just sort of discuss the sensitivities. For example, if they didn't have a memorial at all, I think that would be insensitive. To be three blocks away. Not that they have a right. They don't have to have a memorial.
But I think they
should have a memorial. There's all kinds of sensitivity. Let me give you another example. I think it's very similar. There are cartoonists that were drawing the Prophet Muhammad. Do they have a legal right to do it? Absolutely they do. I fully support their legal right to do it. But is it the right thing to do? Is it wise? You know, I don't want to mock someone else's religion. So by
saying that, aren't you implying some kind of support for those who put a death warrant out on those cartoonists?
No. No, not at all.
I mean,
you're giving support
to the idea that an artist, a cartoonist, can't write or say
certain things.
The cartoonists
can say and do whatever they want. I get some political cartoons that I like, and I get some that I don't like.
But
that's different from, I will defend their right to do it. Absolutely. I will defend the right to build. It's a delicate line, and I
understand. And originally, I was opposed to that. Originally, I was opposed to that because I thought, well, that is terribly insensitive, and particularly because of the tensions of the war in Iraq and everything else at that particular time to start drawing nasty pictures of Muhammad.
It's free speech. They have absolute right to do it.
But at the same time, if we don't, and if our politicians don't say, this is the way we want to be able to express ourselves, where do you draw that
You're
line?
Listening to the Raucous Caucus. My name's Garland Nixon, and I'm here with...
Mark Levine.
And...
Terry DeKessler, and we apologize for not being raucous yet.
Yeah, and look, we're going to take a break here. We want some members of our audience to come up and set us straight here.
Absolutely.
And give us the information. We're, you know, ignorant and
except not my wife. Not my wife. She
we'll
disagrees.
Be right back.
Why can't I lay low? Why can't I...
Good evening. I'm back. My name's Garland Nixon. You're listening to 89.3 FM. My name's Garland Nixon. I'm here with...
Mark Levine.
And...
Terry D. Kester.
And look, we're at 1213 U Street. It bends next door.
Yeah.
Jeez, you know, how could this skip my mind? 1213 U Street. Bends next door. It's a great place. It's right next to Ben's Chili Bowl. We're here every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m.
We got a great crowd here.
We got
already.
A great crowd here.
We got
one
a number of
beautiful
of newcomers.
People. Yes.
Yeah.
And before we get back on this, I want to talk about Harry Reid, what he said, the politics of it. But we've got a great local artist, a very special local artist named Milagro Phillips. She's having here very shortly. She's going to have an art show, and she's going to tell us about it and step up to the mic, and I encourage everyone to check it out. Her work is phenomenal. I want you to see what some of the local artists in Washington, D.C. can do.
And also, she is a very spiritually sensitive
yes.
woman, and I know she has something to say about this that we're talking about.
Well, Milagro,
the
mic's all yours.
Oh, yeah, put me on the spot.
No, you don't. Yeah.
We love you.
Only if you want to.
Well, actually, I have an art show in Mount Pleasant, and it's called Connected to the Spheres, and it's a show about how artists, particularly artists in our culture, are able to sort of walk between the worlds, is what we call it. They're able to go into that sacred dimension and bring forth ideas and structures and colors into this dimension and just reshape the way that we view things, reshape the way that we think of things, and it's really quite exciting what artists can do. This particular show features musicians. We actually have some musicians that will be playing live. It's on the 21st of August, and it's at 3103 Mount Pleasant Street Northwest. 6 p.m. is a musical reception, and I will be talking about the pieces. We have dancers. These are all paintings. We have dancers. We have jazz musicians, jazz dancers, ballet dancers.
Wow.
It's really about how visual artists as well as performing artists express themselves. So it's really pretty powerful.
Can you give us before for those who didn't have a time to write it down? Can you give us the date,
the
address,
time,
and the time and, again?
Sure. It's Saturday, August 21st.
Mm-hmm.
The musical reception is at 6 p.m. and it's at 3103 Mount Pleasant Street Northwest, and it's on the corner of Irving Street and Mount Pleasant. And it's in a building that says Day Spa. There's a wonderful little gallery inside that building. So.
Something else very interesting about Milagros. Brilliant woman, I have to tell you. Absolutely brilliant. And she works with an organization on race healing.
Yep.
Do you have any thoughts on the issue here with people looking, having anger towards all Muslims, putting them all in a group?
Well, I think that so often when it comes to people of color, the majority certainly likes to group people together. It's almost like it makes them feel safe to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And when we start to do that, we dehumanize people. We no longer see them as individual human beings who make their own individual decisions. We group them with someone else. We do that to people of color all the time. All black males, all black women, and then we make some kind of statement after that. You know, all Muslims, all Latinos. It doesn't give us an opportunity to see people as individuals when we do that. And what it also does is it allows us to criminalize entire groups of people,
mm-hmm.
which then makes it okay to kill them.
Right.
For whatever it is that we want to kill them for. And so we have to be really careful to stop doing that. I mean, we need to grow up. Seriously.
Yes, exactly.
Absolutely.
Amen.
It doesn't serve anyone to continue to do that, to continue to view people as groups. There's no such thing as groups. Groups are made up of individuals.
Right.
And we can't just continue to do that. We also can't continue to justify, it's so funny, being a woman...
Mm-hmm.
Truly, women should run the world.
I agree.
I actually agree.
They couldn't do any worse than men have done, that's for sure. Nowhere to go but up.
At the very least, yeah.
Testosterone is the most dangerous chemical in the world.
No kidding. You know, people who give birth to other people absolutely are less likely to see them as someone who could go off and murder someone else or to take the life of someone else's child. So, I really do think we need to start thinking more in terms of feminine terms,
mm-hmm.
and view our world more through feminine eyes, because there are some things that women are much more sensitive about than men are. And that's just the way it is.
It is.
Certainly agree. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's Milagro Phillips, and we hope everyone gets out there on the 21st to Mount 3103 Mount Pleasant Street.
And thank you for coming, Milagro.
Yeah, we certainly appreciate that.
To the raucous car.
Okay. So we're back. Something else we got to throw out there, and that's this. And this is something that I was not pleased with. I'm suspecting that it was as a result of polls. Unfortunately, I don't feel good about that. But Harry Reid, Democrat,
Harry,
head of the Senate.
Send Harry back to school.
Has now made a statement. He's bought into this whole anti-Muslim thing. And he said, now, I know you're running, Harry. I know you're running. I understand that. But this is representative of what's one of the big problems in not just in Congress, in government, and that is when you're running for an office, abandon all good, abandon all moral and ethics. I've got to get elected, so I got to say what I got to say
pander,
to get elected.
Pander, yeah.
And
pander,
I'm not saying
pander.
Congress. I'm saying in politics, this is a huge problem. So Harry Reid goes forth and basically says said he doesn't think that the mosque should be there. Terry, do you have it? Do you have the quote? Let's hear the quote.
The quote: the First Amendment. This is Harry Reid. The First Amendment protects freedom of religion. Senator Reid respects that, but I'm sorry, this is his spokesperson now trying to justify it. The First Amendment protects freedom of religion. Senator Reid respects that, but thinks the mosque should be built someplace else.
You know, that's kind of odd, because that's like saying, you know, I respect, your right to walk down the street, but I think you should be, you shouldn't be allowed to walk down the street. I respect your right to walk down the street, but I don't think you should be allowed to walk down. It's ridiculous.
It puts Obama and the Democratic Party in a very tenuous position.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Here's the thing. Politicians outside of New York really shouldn't be commenting on... I mean, I like the way Obama said that it's not wise. Look, he has a job as President of the United States to uphold the Constitution. All right? He said under the Constitution they
but
have
so
every right
the
to be there.
They and have now, the exact
hold on.
Same thing.
Harry Reid is not going to write any law of any sort that will in any way affect the Islamic Cultural Center. Right? There's no federal law that Harry Reid is going to write. So it really is not, I mean, you know, he can give his own personal opinion. Frankly, I felt the same way about Obama and gay people getting married, because it's not federal law either, you know.
Right, right,
you know,
right.
He shouldn't be making comment on state law.
I agree.
But so I think the politicians should say, like President Obama said, again, outside of New York, should say, look, you know, you have a constitutional right to do this. We will defend your constitutional right. Wisdom, the way to work the wisdom angle, as far as I'm concerned, should have been done not publicly, not politically. If people wanted to privately meet victims, meet with Imam Ralph and say, Imam, what are you going to do about the sensitivities? Have a nice private meeting. This is a man who has reached out interfaith his entire life. He's done so his entire career.
This is an interfaith project.
One of the reasons the State Department is sending him to the Middle East is to help explain to Muslims over there, you know, America's not as bad as
we seem to be.
As they think we are, and to explain to Americans that Muslims are not as bad as some Americans think, to bridge the gap, the unfortunate gap that exists. So this is a man that's always been trying to bridge the gap. I have no doubt that this man will do something. He's already, in fact, mentioned he's going to have a memorial. He should have a memorial. These are the kinds of things, once you know someone's legal right, once there's going to be no law, nothing to stop it in any legal or political fashion, this is something that should have been done in a sensitive manner with people working it out. And
but
Harry Reid really wasn't going to play a role in
that. Given the fact that we're walking right up to the election, you know, I mean...
Oh, I know why he did it.
I mean, not just him, but I mean the Republicans, the grand old...
Well, they're the ones exploiting this.
Yeah,
they're the ones who made it a big issue.
Yeah,
no one even knew about this 3 months ago.
Eugene Robinson comes up... Is that his last name? If I got his name
Eugene Robinson.
Eugene Robinson comes up with the grand old party. The GOP now stands for the grand old panderers, which
right.
I think is absolutely correct. But the politicians are not going to let go of this.
And no, the Republicans won't.
The Republicans,
it's
right.
a wedge
and,
issue.
And some Democrats,
divides Democrats.
Some Democrats will not let go of this. And this can be brought up, you know, for, quote, a resolution or something like that. And it can be escalated. And I think because of the political climate in this country, it's going to be escalated.
But what's the point?
Well,
there's nothing politicians can do about it. So what's
can,
the
well, yes,
other than yell and scream?
Well, here's the thing about
it. The same thing when they do resolutions, the same thing they did with Terry Schiavo, for pretty sakes. You know, they can make a big case.
It's like flag burning.
I know.
People condemning flag burning. There were 4 flags burned last year. Obviously, it was a national pandemic. And obviously, they have every right to do it in the Constitution.
But my question is, you know, if the Republicans keep on pushing this, and they will, and a few Democrats will join, and Reid will waver. Are we going to get to the point, which we likely could for this election, that the Congress of the United States will pass some resolution saying, well, no, 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 this is a bad
idea. I don't think that's going to happen.
Heck does that say about our country?
I don't think that anything formal is going to happen, but I think this is about not informal issues, you know, kind of what was the movie, the Jack Nicholson movie, where they talked about, you know, rules and regulations and unwritten rules and regulations. I can't think of the name of it for the life of me.
Jack Nicholson just watches basketball.
But at any rate,
he no longer knows how to act.
At any rate, the bottom line is there are two things. There are laws and there's issues and how things affect our society. Now, I don't legally, Harry, you know, Reid said something that was pretty much non-existent. He qualified something and then threw it out the window. But the issue is this. How does it affect our society, and how does it affect the conversation? That's the problem I have with what Harry Reid did.
Exactly.
He gave validity to a premise that should not have validity. In fact, when this argument is brought up, it shouldn't even be – people should look at it and say, you got to be kidding me. When people bring this up, I get angry at the people that are allegedly on the left and on our side when they discuss this issue – with any validity whatsoever, instead of just attacking it when somebody brings up and it brings it up and just says, you know, not ad hominem attacks on the individual, but saying, look, this is a ridiculous argument in the first place. So Harry Reid throws this out there. He feeds it. He even says to people that are allegedly on his side, you know, this is a valid premise. Now,
and columnists
say,
are doing now, the same.
Yeah, let's just say, but let's just say that it opens and people are in there playing basketball, and it opens up and they you know, open it to everyone, and there's African Americans and Jewish people and Muslims in there playing ball and swimming.
Well,
and
so, I do think it has to be open to everybody.
Yeah, no, I'm saying, and some nutcase comes by with a truck bomb or whatever, or fires automatic weapon into it or something insane, right?
I don't want to think about that.
Okay, now I got to look at Harry Reid and say, you were in this. You know what I mean? I look at Harry Reid and say, look, the comments that you made contributed to this argument. And he puts
that is the danger.
People on the left who are trying to fight this in a worse position because he's added validity to it.
And don't you think, too, on this demonstration on the 28th with Glenn Beck and Sarah Palin and all that, don't you think they're going to bring this
up?
I guarantee they will.
Of course they are.
You know, and I'm asking right now for everybody that has any sense at all to be out in the streets in a peaceful way, making your presence known that you are not part of this.
And do not be misled about something. If I was in Harry Reid's district, I'm no idiot. If I was in his district and I had to choose between him and that American Taliban member that he's running against, I would hold my breath and vote for Harry Reid. I mean, I'm not stupid.
Sharon Engel wants to end Social Security.
Right. I'm not going to vote against my own interest. You know, I'm not going to vote against somebody like that. However, I'm just saying this. You got to remember that when you choose the lesser of two evils, it's still an evil.
I don't think I'm being hard enough on it.
He's brought up a big point here, Mark, that's really important, and that is the cultural drive. The cultural ethos. I mean, again, I'm quoting again from Richard Cohen.
Richard Cohen. Wait a minute, I'm agreeing with Terry.
Darn right. You usually do. You just don't remember that.
Desperately wrong here.
The inclination to go from the particular to the general, to blame people for the acts of a few, is what has always fueled pogroms and race riots. History shows that it is a natural tendency, and it will literally run riot if not controlled. It is the solemn obligation of elected officials and leaders to restrain such an urge, to be moral as well as political leaders. Obama almost pulled this off, but he flinched. What Cohen is talking about is the cultural environment is fed primarily. Unfortunately, it's not fed by the Raucous Caucus. It's fed by Glenn Beck. You know,
celebrities.
Everybody on Fox,
by celebrities.
Except for Glenn.
Celebrities.
Mark, you know, celebrities.
Yeah.
And it is creating this cultural maelstrom that I don't think is going to go away.
No, they got to blame somebody.
Yeah, and I mean, unless our politicians, including Obama, including Reid, do say exactly what you're saying, Garland, this is absurd. This is just foolish. Not only is it un-American, it's not appropriate in terms of Christianity. It's not appropriate in terms of our Constitution.
It's not appropriate in any way whatsoever. Against Reid. What did he say? He said they have an absolute First Amendment right to build there.
I'm not condemning Reid.
How do you stop this cultural maelstrom that is developing?
How do you stop it? What you do is everyone starts showing some sensitivity. The first thing is you emphasize, and I think Iman Ralph would do this, and I think you meet with him privately and discuss it. I think you emphasize the memorial inside the cultural center, which will blow some people's minds, right? Wait a minute. Muslims are showing sensitivity to the victims of September 11th. We all know that. But some of the people who are opposed to this center, it would blow their mind. You welcome everyone in the cultural center. Muslims, Christians, Jews, atheists, to come in, to see the memorial, to pray at the mosque. One thing this imam has done is he does a lot of interfaith services. He's held Muslim services in Episcopal churches. He's invited churches to come into his mosque at Tribeca. This is a guy who's looking to have some healing. Most Americans don't know that. We've got to start talking to each other, breaking bread with each other.
Of course.
And I hope one of the first things that they do in this center is invite victims' families over to the cultural center.
So you think? Are you saying? But are you saying the weight is on them?
Right. No, I think the weight's on everybody.
And I don't think
everybody.
But
partly on them. Partly on them.
Partly on them.
It's not only on the victims. No, it's partly on them.
But I mean, shouldn't somebody?
I think they need. Look, this imam very early on called September 11th a crime and attacked the murderers.
But shouldn't somebody in the Democratic Party at this point having the guts to stand up and, for instance, invite the imam to Congress to speak to Congress?
That would be great.
Or something like that.
That would be great.
I mean, somehow you have to give dignity and respect.
But the problem is, if you invite him to speak to Congress, if you have a hearing, he'll be grilled by all those Republicans. Yeah. It's kind of hard. You don't usually
hearings are for showbiz.
You don't usually get anyone other than a foreign leader to speak to a session of Congress.
Right. Well, see, where I separate here, Mark, where I separate from you, and not to say that your argument is not a realistic, a valid argument. I'm not totally discrediting your point of view.
Oh, you can. It's okay, Garland.
Okay, like I usually do. I didn't want to add that to it.
It's okay.
But, the problem I have it goes deeper, and that is the problem I have from my perspective, the mosque or what goes on within the mosque is not even part of what I see or what I'm talking about, because I never get that far. Here, as far as I get,
they
is
have
this,
every right to do whatever they
as
want.
As far
on that
as
property.
I get is this,
but
there
I
is
hope
a,
they show
no,
sensitivity.
As far as I get, this is as far as I get. There is a group. We'll name that group Group X, in math being the unknown. So Group X owns private property X amount of distance from Ground Zero. Okay? Group X owns private property, and legally, Group X can do whatever they want on their property. So I don't see that whatever Group X is, as long as it's a legal group. Remember, my background is ACLU. We defended the KKK. Wait a minute. We defended the KKK's right to be able to march. Whatever Group X is, any time you throw an argument, your argument based on who Group X is, on the views, on the religious of Group X, you ignore that Group X is made up of a lot of people. I have a problem with the argument resting on who Group X is. And one other thing here, and what makes it even more absurd is, if you argue with someone and they say, well, I don't think they should be two blocks from that. You say, okay, how many blocks? Four blocks? 6 blocks? 10 blocks? 23 blocks? How many blocks? And if they say 12 blocks, why 12 blocks?
Is there a line?
Why not 4?
Is there a line?
But let me just say, it shows the absurdity when you recognize that how arbitrary it is for someone to pick a distance, an arbitrary distance. 2 blocks is too close.
Garland.
200 feet, is that too close? How about 12 blocks?
It is arbitrary.
The entire... just the entire discussion
is
absurd.
Arbitrary, but let me give you another example completely out. Let's say...
Okay.
That someone wanted to open right across from Ground Zero a porn shop. Now, there are porn shops everywhere in Manhattan.
Yeah,
there are.
Apparently.
Okay. In fact,
I've driven through
New
York.
In fact, Mark
I've happened to walk the streets of New York.
He has a map.
I would oppose a porn shop just across the street from... My point is this. I would hope everyone would show sensitivity. I would hope St. Paul's Church would show sensitivity to the victims because it's right across from September 11th. I think that it is hallowed ground. I think Barack Obama was right about that. And that everyone close by, and it's certainly not just the Islamic Cultural Center, but everyone should show some sensitivity to what happened there. And I think we can apply that across the board, no matter who's there.
Well, then ask the next question.
That's not what's happening.
I know that's not what's happening. There is one group.
Is there sensitivity being shown to that spot when, in fact, there is, again, huge profiting commercial
yeah.
development.
No, and I don't
right
like that.
Right exactly on the spot, which should be a memorial.
I don't like that. I mean, frankly,
none of our politicians are saying anything about that.
I'm distressed right. there's build, no memorial build. There. I'm yeah. very yeah. distressed. Here it is. Yeah. It's, what, 9 years after September 11th, and there's still no memorial
no.
to the 3,000 innocent yeah. Americans that were murdered.
You know,
there.
Another thing, and I'll say this.
And that's very distressing.
What we're doing, and the memorial they needed is so simple. I mean, I was
a light.
I was in Manhattan.
Something.
You know,
and there's all kinds of beautiful memorials. The lights are perfect.
That was perfect.
That was perfect. Two lights.
You know, and what we're doing, what's so sad is, what we're doing is the opposite of what we should be doing.
Yes.
Because what we should be doing
yes.
is figuring out how to reach out to the Muslim community.
That's true.
Feeling, you know, figuring out.
Well, that's actually what yeah. they're doing with Imam Ralph by sending
what he's
him.
Doing.
Well, I'm just
what
saying,
the,
you know,
well,
the words
of
the GOP and Harry Reid and
yeah,
the like
the State Department
are doing the opposite. We're not reaching out.
Well,
the way
Obama
to
is.
Fix,
there
the
needs
way
to be
heal.
More dialogue.
You know, apparently, now let's face it. The Middle Eastern community, it has been watching us bomb the crap out of people and bodies fly all over the place and invading countries that we had no business invading and doing things. There are some legitimate reasons why they may have some issues with the United States as a whole, as a group.
About 500 or 600
right.
reasons I can think
yeah.
of. The top
so
of my head. Yeah.
The bottom line is we need to be trying to heal those the issues there. All, the only thing we do is,
President,
let me say this, the only thing we do is we anger more people and drive them towards Al-Qaeda or drive them towards the group that are angry at us because we prove just how angry and racist our country is.
And when now that it's
that's
been
not
made
really
public.
Who we are.
Now that it's made public and now that it's made political, it's absolutely too late. Maybe, as I said, before all this happened, a private meeting could have been held regarding the location. At this point, it would be absolutely wrong to try to move the Islamic Cultural Center. Because at this point, it would be seen all across the world as an attack on religious freedom.
And which it is.
And it's absolutely the wrong thing. It's the wrong thing because it's against our Constitution. It's
but
the wrong thing
we
politically.
But are we calling on our Democratic politicians to stand up and say essentially what, you know, we're saying tonight, that this is nonsense, this is against everything that our country, to even question this or stir this up is against everything our question is for. I mean, should we not, in fact, be pressuring our Democrat politicians, who supposedly, you know, are not going to pander to this, to stand up and say this
and
is
you
wrong.
Know what?
Because it is political.
It's hard, Terry.
Right.
There's an election in November,
well,
and only one-third of Americans
you know?
Support this idea.
But, you
yeah.
know, Terry makes a good point here, though, because Terry is saying pretty much what I'm saying. He's not saying that the politicians should stand up and say, we think it should be there, and this is the reason we should. What they should stand up and say is, this discussion is nonsense. It's nonsense. They don't have to. They shouldn't be saying they're even for or against it. They should identify what it is. You know, it's like if you see a circus clown, you say that's a circus clown.
So did President
There's
Obama
no point talking to this person? I think President Obama.
You think he did okay? Or
I
you
think,
don't think so.
From the perspective of being the president, I think he did the right thing. He didn't get in it. He simply said, "Look, this is what the Constitution says. This is my job that I signed up for. My job is to say, this is the Constitution, I'll support it." But I think that out there, because there are, you know, you turn on the cable news and you
it
see
is a
various
issue.
Democrats
it's a
going on
issue.
The cable news talking. So they if they go on there and they're going to say something, I think they should say, this is a ridiculous discussion. I don't know what these clowns are talking about.
I
we
mean,
shouldn't
yeah.
even be talking about this.
Yeah. And again, I think an invitation should be extended to the Iman. I mean, if this is a crucial moment because there is, unfortunately, what drives politics in this country, besides money.
Hate and fear.
Money.
Yeah.
Hate and fear.
Hate and fear and particular commentators who have enormous power. Rush Limbaugh, et cetera, Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, all they have enormous power on affecting political and cultural and social thought and policy in this country. And unless somebody starts to stand up to these guys and say, you know, not only is Rush Limbaugh out of line, but they're all out of line. Literally be saying that. They are out of line morally, ethically, legally, and in every sense. They're going to win the cultural battle.
You know,
and if they win the cultural battle, they're going to win the political battle.
And something else interesting, and that is President Obama has said many times, and I agree with this, good policy, good politics is good policy. You know, I think a lot of the people on the left are afraid that if they come out and call this what it is, that they'll lose votes.
Yep.
And I think it's the opposite. I think that when you do the right thing and say the right thing and people see that you stand for something, you're going to get Democrats who would be sitting on their hands say, you know something, I think I'm going to come out for the midterm election.
You mean Kucinich has a chance to be president?
No.
Okay.
I actually, when I first spoke about this issue on television,
Mark has as good a chance.
There's a guy that wrote on my blog. He said he's a Christian fundamentalist. Angeles. He's seen me on TV a lot. He disagrees with virtually everything I said, but he was impressed by my defense of the religious freedom of the people who wanted to build the Islamic Cultural Center, and he wants that religious freedom respected as a Christian, and he said that he agreed with me and that he was willing to listen to me more closely.
And then, since it was when you were on Fox News, so then he left a death threat.
I gotta tell you, that was the nicest comment I ever received. I get a lot of nasty comments.
You're on Fox News. But you're not going to get many nice comments, nice. Mark.
One more thing I want to say, though, about Terry said, real quick, I'm talking about Rush Limbaugh and the others promoting this, is that we've got big issues in this country. Healthcare has just been passed, Wall Street reform, recession, environment, climate change, whole bunch of big issues. And yet the commentators, what have they had us focus on? Illegal immigrants, a problem that's much better now than it was 3 years ago, and the building of this Islamic Cultural Center. They're trying to make us focus on other things so we don't focus on the big issues.
Well, climate change is a hoax, Mark, in case you hadn't checked the weather lately.
July was the hottest month of any time at any time. It was just coincidence.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
The 100-degree things, they didn't happen.
Don't connect weather to climate change and global warming. That scientifically is dangerous territory. You don't want to go there.
Well, before we go, we might have a little bit of time left, but I want to make sure.
Just a little wisdom there. A little scientific wisdom.
We can't have too much wisdom around here. It makes Mark and I uncomfortable. With knowledge, not wisdom. Knowledge. Okay, where are we?
The truth.
I want to make sure, first of all, my name's Garland Nixon, and I'm here on my left.
Mark Levine.
And on my other left.
Terry D. Kester.
Great. And we're here, 1213 U Street. Ben's next door is right next to Ben's Chili Bowl. Great food and
every
drink.
Every Tuesday night
at 7. Come down and join us. We've got a great audience, as you can see by Milagro Films. We have brilliant people here.
Let's make sure we get down to
check out her event. Okay, we want to make sure, number one, that we thank Drew Franklin, who is our engineer.
Hey, right over there.
And as I've said before, if Drew weren't here, this is what you'd hear.
Static.
Crickets chirping. Do we have crickets chirping on the city or something? I have to get crickets chirping. Okay. Sidrack Franklin, he's a board operator. He is back there. So we got Drew Franklin and Sidrack Franklin. No relation here.
Except we know him.
And most importantly, the queen of quality, our producer, Gladys L. Brooke. And the L is for lovely. Okay. We certainly want to thank our studio audience. We're not in the studio. We're going to thank our audience.
Yes.
Wonderful
thank you
people
so much.
Here.
Thank Nizam Ali for giving us.
Of course. Nizam and Tariq. We want to thank them and all the people here.
And do we have a second? We should also thank Ramon at the station, the technical operator. We are operating at full power finally.
We're 50,000 watts. We're back up to 50,000
watts. 44,700 watts, which is right where we want to be. So our signal is out there to all of the metropolitan area, thanks to Ramon.
Okay.
And if you want to find us, we're all on Facebook.
That's right.
I know I'm there.
And we have a Raucous Caucus Facebook site.
Gladys, fill us in. It is. Oh, wait a minute. Here we go. It is, you can email us at raucouscaucus@gmail.com.
Yeah.
You can Facebook Mark or I individually, Mark Levine or Garland Nixon.
And I will take this show and put it on my website at marklevineradio.com within a couple days.
Mark Levine Radio. If you want to hear this show again, or
and
if
you do.
Want to,
I'm sure
your friends want to hear it, marklevineradio.com. My name is Garland Nixon. Mark Levine and Terry Kester, D. Kester, and we will see you.
I won't see you.
Literally, we'll see you next week.
I won't be here.
Without Terry.